Isn't he so good to us? From our Torah portions to the feast days to the fellowship, just checking ourselves in the time of unleavened bread, to seeing the blood of the Torah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
God forgive me. It's just amazing how good he is.
Yes.
And it's hard to contain yourself sometimes.
Yes.
But he deserves all the honor and the glory. So, we're going to be leaving off. We're going to be beginning in Genesis chapter 24. And we've been studying, looking at this Torah portion that revolves around the life and the death and burial of Sarah. And also what's to come afterwards. Because the matter of the fact is, we're going to be looking at something today that he put on my heart. On your marks, get set, serve.
Hallelujah.
Serve. Because we can see a common theme taking place in chapter 24.
Serve.
Now, I wanted to read from the top to the bottom, but there are 67 verses. We don't talk about a mouthful, but ultimately, if we're familiar with this chapter, we can see how much it edifies and points to servitude and being the bride and Messiah. Because we know the Father is not going to settle just for anyone. And that should be an eye-opener for us. And our service will reflect where our heart's at. And ultimately, each and every one of us has some type of service that we can offer up, whether it's within the gates or whenever we leave and do our part outside the gates. But ultimately, we always remain in his gates, his presence, at all times. And I can personally say what little bit, it feels like a lot, but what little bit I was able to get myself into in this chapter has really challenged me to the core, and really making sure that I've been checking myself to make sure that I line up as what he considers a servant. Because are we not the body of Messiah, that he came as a suffering servant?
Yeah.
To make sure we line up as his bride that he's coming back for, so that way we can enter into eternity with him.
Amen.
And ultimately get to experience the trueness of the presence of the Father upon his arrival. Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And also, real quick, I'm going to be going in and out of the slide, so I'll do my best to make sure that I stay where I'm at as we follow along. So, as it begins, and Abraham was old, advanced in years, and Jehovah had blessed Abraham in every way. How many of us want to achieve that? To be able to look into our life and realize that we have been blessed in every way.
Yes.
In our relationships, in our fellowship, in our job, in our service unto the Father, into our commitment, in our reflection. Can we truly say, are we being blessed in every way? Because ultimately, we have to truly receive the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But for us to truly appreciate the blessings, we have to be able to align ourselves properly in matching the character of Almighty God.
Yeah.
The only way for us to know that is you look into his word. Mm-hmm. Look into his Lord, and he instantly changed. And Abraham, verse 2, and Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, please put your hand under my thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, interestingly enough, it doesn't name the servant, but from what we can gather, is that in Genesis chapter 15, whenever Abraham was struggling, well, still at the time, Abram was struggling with the fact that he was going to receive these promises and covenants at hand, but yet has no seed yet. So he defaulted to thinking, well, it should be Eliezer, the servant born into my household. He would have established a level of trust with Abraham that ultimately would allow him to look upon his servant and knowing that he can trust him in all things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to ask ourselves, are we trustworthy servants? Because ultimately, one day, we should be looking forward to hearing the words, well done, my good and trustworthy servant.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not what we're aspiring to do? Mm-hmm. And if so, we know that there's house rules that we have to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know all these things may sound ultra repetitive as we go through the Torah portions, But that's because Almighty Yah wants to drill it into our minds so that way we don't get sifted out by the enemy. Because he's continually looking to sift us out.
Yeah. That's right.
And if we give an ear to him, as it was mentioned last night, what happened in the garden, it's our choice if we give ourselves over unto him. Because the battle, the victory has already been won. And if we make it to that area, we know that the Great Commission states in Matthew chapter 28 that whenever Messiah Yeshua was going to ascend upon at the right hand of the Father, he was given all power and authority over the heavens and the earth. So we remain in that operation of him as his servants, as his bride. And really, it's up to us if we want to learn. Oh, praise God. I did not know it was going to go like this. Thank you, Father. But ultimately, this servant ruled over the household, which shows an ultimate level of trust. And also, we have to realize that as servants of his household and being in great understanding of what the house rules are, we should be able to develop that same level of trust too, to be able to operate the household the way that he wants. But please put your hand under my thigh, which ultimately there's a lot that we can draw from there, but we're going to touch on that whenever we get to when he actually did so, because this is the requesting of the oath that is going to be taking place. And ultimately, we know and learn that when it comes to oaths and vows, we're not to swear falsely. And where there's a lot that say we shouldn't at all, we got to be careful with that mindset, because it ultimately points to the breaking away of things that Scripture promotes. We can never be in that position. No chink in the armor should be compromised, because then the rest of us. So let's further look more at serving. And I'm going to refer to the slide 112.
Amen.
Is where I'm at currently.
Hallelujah.
Which gives us a breakdown of serving in the paleo. So Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55. Because the children of Israel are servants to me. That's us to him. They are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Mishraim. I am Yehovah, your Elohim. Ebed. Ebed. I put an emphasis there when it didn't need me. In Strong's 5650. And it is pictured as the Ayin, the Bet, and the Dalet. I'm so thankful that I'm familiar with those. But usually as it goes, when I get tested on which one. That was. I still forget. I think it was noon that I got mixed up at COY. I got a little pop quiz. And I told him, I was like, if you would hit me with Ayin, Bet, Dalet, Mem, come on.
Hallelujah.
But no, you got me with the one that I get confused. But praise God that we get to learn these things, because it paints a beautiful picture for us. And as we move on, Ayin is seeing and watching, as well as knowledge, as the eye is the window of knowledge. The ancient script has this letter Bet, which is pictured as a tent floor plan and means house or tent. It represents family and the importance of those who are inside the tent as opposed to the tent structure. Dalet. This one's been very, very prominent in the time that we are in right now, especially with Passover, the door. And it is as pictured as a door. It can also have the meaning of a back and forth movement, as one goes back and forth through the tent door, and so speaks of an access point. It can also carry the meaning of dangle or hanging, as the tent door would hang from the roof pole of the tent. It speaks a great deal in terms of understanding the door of the tent of appointments as the only means of access. We know our Messiah is the only means of access. So what it renders is one who watches at the door of the house. And remember, this is the bath. Servant. This is what Almighty Yah wants us to understand, what it means to be that good servant we should be striving to be. Our eyes should be continually fixated
on the door that he put into our lives so we can have that means of access through his blood. And what's incredible, we'll see if I can do this. I want to share some imagery that really, it took me away. So, if I remember correctly, Thursday night, I have a picture of hyssop up there right now, for those that can't see it. And here's a field of the hyssops. But one night when me and my wife broke bread, basically did the communion, and prayed before Yeshua, Messiah, and Father, we were holding hands and she was praying. And for some reason, I could feel the attack of the enemy trying to get inside my mind. Mm-hmm. And all I heard was, shh, listen. Mm-hmm. As clear as day, I was standing in a field. It was like a dream while I was awake, a vision. I was standing in a field and it was beautiful. They had this up everywhere. And I was walking through the field just dragging my head. I wanted this up. And I looked up and I kept walking. And then a dark red color was all over the hyssop. I looked down and I grabbed a handful. And this door, the frame of a door made out of driftwood, was in the middle of the field. And I walked up to it. I put the blood on the doorpost.
That's right.
And I said, here I am. It just did something for me because of the fact that we are servants. He wants us to be at the doorpost. He wants us to apply the blood on our lives. And yes, we know these things. It is redundant, continual. But that's the people he's dealing with. We are the children of Israel. We're in the wilderness. It's up to us if we want to be laid low or go and keep going.
Keep trying. Keep trying.
You know when we're reading the Shema? And it mentions the doorpost within your gates. Every time I picture it, because we are the dwelling place. We are the living temple of the living Elohim. We really, truly have to grasp, continually want that blood on our life. Thank you, Father. Okay, so slide 118. Now we're going to look at the Greek, so that way we can see the full, broad picture, all in all, from front to back, to see that it does speak of the same servitude. So the Greek Strong's doulos, which is G1401, a slave, a servant, bondservant, bond slaves, both men and women, used repeatedly throughout the renewed writings. This word is used repeatedly. As we take note how Shaul, Yaakov, Kepha, and Yehuda called themselves a servant, doulos, of Yeshua, Messiah. And we're going to look at slides 119 through 121, pointing out that what is being said is indeed there. Romans 1:1, Shaul, a servant of Yeshua, Messiah, doulos of Yeshua, Messiah, a called emissary separated to the good news of Elohim. Yaakov, James 1:1, Yaakov, a servant of Elohim, doulos, and of the Master Yeshua Messiah, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed, greetings. 2 Peter 1:1, Kepha, Shimon Kepha, a doulos, servant, and emissary of Yeshua Messiah, to those who have obtained a belief as precious as ours by the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior, Yeshua Messiah. Yehuda, Jude 1:1. Yehuda, a doulos, servant of Yeshua Messiah,
a brother to Yaakov, to those who are called, set apart by Elohim, the Father, and preserved in Yeshua, Messiah.
Hallelujah.
So this right here did a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the word Ebed, and then looking at his root.
Mm.
As we know, Ebed is Strong's 5650, is used 800 times in 714 verses in the Tanakh.
Mm-hmm.
And is used as a noun and comes from the primitive root verb, Ached, just H5647, meaning to work, serve, observe, do the work, cultivate, worship, and carries the understanding of expending considerable energy and intensity in performing a task or function. Or in other words, giving it your all. So then I was faced with the question, am I truly giving it my all?
Hmm.
I'm going to be honest because I like being honest.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Because there's always more that we can give.
Mm-hmm.
There's always so much more that we can give in every aspect of our life. Because Almighty God has given us the blessing. We really just take some time and look at your life.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Really think about where he found you at.
That's right.
And where you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
And all he asks is for us with all our heart,
mm-hmm.
with all our might, with all our being,
mm-hmm.
with everything in us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times, we truly do reflect the children of Israel. And this may be offensive to some, but I'm talking about the grumbling.
Mm-hmm.
If we were real. Because at the end of the day, if we have a lot on our plate, we've been told before, if it's not of the Father, take it off your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But we should never entitle ourselves, because of how much we do unto the Father, to complain. To look at anyone else's cup other than yours.
Yeah, that's right.
These are all challenging things because sometimes it's just so easy to say it.
Hmm.
It feels so nice. So we can relate to it. But when after service ends, what about the next day?
Uh-huh.
What about the day after that?
Uh-huh.
Is there something that you might be holding on to?
Mm-hmm.
That you may be misjudging with the sight of your eyes and the hearing of your own ears?
Mm-hmm.
You're not equipping yourself with the spiritual hearing and vision. And these are real things that we have to meditate upon, because this is all in reflection of being that true servant unto the Father.
Mm-hmm.
And we know our shortcomings.
Yes.
It's like I said before, we may fool one another. We may put our Shabbat faces on. We may put our feast day faces on.
Mm-hmm.
We may project ourselves as who we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not, we're only deceiving ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and we become
mm-hmm.
puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
So, in this wonderful time of unleavening ourselves,
mm-hmm.
testing ourselves, reflecting within ourselves, as we should, continually, we've got to make sure that we're willing to humble ourselves as servants before the Father.
Amen. Yeah.
And this, whether anyone wants to receive it or not, I'm ultimately receiving it for myself.
Right.
Do you know where Brother Rob's at right now? Right there, nodding his head, saying amen.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving it for himself. So that's ultimately what I'm marinated in this area. And in doing so, I was reminded of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. And I'm so thankful for Ecclesiastes. I really feel like it's a good area to allow yourself to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So, it begins. What does the worker gain from his toil? Do we not all have responsibilities and things that we get ourselves involved in, that Almighty God has blessed us to toil in, to be servants upon, whether it's in regards to service to his house or outside the house? Wherever it may be, we have toiling that we can put our hands to. And honestly, it says, what does the worker gain? I think that's more so of a question of what's in our heart whenever we're performing tasks.
Mm-hmm.
What is your why? Why are you here? Is it because you want to truly inherit the blessings of the Father? To be in His presence? Or is it because it sounds good and you just want to take part in it and play pretend? Now, mind you, these are all things that He was hitting me with left and right. I was asked if I was going to bring a hammer yesterday. And I said, oh, God willing, inside. But of course, what I was reminded of was the last time I used a hammer, and He said, bow! Then you hit your own thumb. The reason I said, hopefully, I experienced both things of that, spiritually and physically. I remember the time I was working on my roof at the house and needed repairs. All it took was primed and ready, and then a distraction. Bam, bam, someone blew the horn. Boom! And I saw blue. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently if you feel enough pain, you're going to see blue. And maybe that's because He wants you to be reminded of the Torah. Because what was coming up next? Yeah, I got the free songs. Hey, it's true. It's true. And that pain was residual. It lasted a while. And that thumbnail was done. It took a while before I could get it better than one. So, ultimately, what we draw from that is it. That's a message within itself, isn't it? Right? We don't need to allow ourselves also in our judgment to get so easily distracted because we end up hurting ourselves. Because we all, are we not all part of the same body? The Messiah? Servants in one functioning body, one spirit. That's Corinthians territory, and that's a little bit different. So. But as we continue, I have seen the task. Servants, we have tasks. Seen the task Elohim has given to the sons of men to be humbled by it. Humble. I thought I was getting tasked to get a good payday. You're getting tasked so that way you can get right with the Father. And it's because we know that He chastises those that He loves. He has made it all beautiful in its time. Even the ages. The ages here is Olam, which gives us the understanding of eternity to keep in mind. He has put in their hearts, and as we've learned, our hearts deal with our thoughts. Labah, broken down, is pertaining to our mind.
Amen.
So ultimately what it's saying here is He's put life everlasting in our mind.
That's right.
Something to think about, to ponder about as we toil through this life, being humbled by the task that He has given us. And ultimately, not for anyone to think that I'm breaking too far away from the Torah portion, but ultimately we see through this Torah portion, if we read ahead and did a little extra study, that there were tasks being given to find out if you can truly obtain the eternity that He's put into our mind, our hearts. So even as the Olam, the eternity ages, He has put in their hearts, their mind, except that no one finds out the work that Elohim does from beginning to end. And that should remind us of guilt. Were any of us there whenever He established the foundations of the earth? So if we have these things and we're being tasked with tasks in this lifetime to find out what kind of servant we are, we truly are a servant and a bride unto Messiah, then truly our conductivity, as we know it, is going to be continually observed to find out if we can actually enjoy this foundational work and plan of salvation that He put into motion for us to receive. I know that there is no good for them, for the servants, but to rejoice and do good in their lives. We're talking about task humbling and seeing if we have it in us, what it takes, that is, to obtain eternity with the Father. Then should we not rejoice in the sense of, as we're being tasked with the commands of following the feast days, with the commands of looking and seeking out his Moedim to take part in it, to, that's what the word is, thankful, to be thankful for it all, because that's true rejoicing. So ultimately, he knows our heart posture when it comes to setting up, taking down. All these key things, come on now. You know the Father implemented it ultimately to test and try us and to see what's in our heart, but he already knows, so it's more so to see what's in ours. Now, I can personally attest to the fact that the setting up was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, now, this is from my perspective, because I can't see deep within everyone else like the Father sees. But from what I did see and what part I played in it, with the moving the chairs and going here to and fro, digging a little bit of an unlike, I'm even lying outside. But, you know, thank the Father for more soil. But, but ultimately, what I'm getting at it is I heard a comment. This is what I like to see. Echo from, what's that, the foyer? Is that what it's called? Okay. And that sparked my interest to observe. And I realized everyone, like this, hastily moving, putting things into place. And you know that's a key word if you read ahead. Being hasteful. Making sure that we're always ready to prepare in servitude to the Father. So, you can see, I think another comment that was, I don't know who said it, but I hear it, was, it's like a little colony of ants, just marching in and getting this set up, and it was like that, it was constant. And to me, that's a huge plus, a huge win, something that he's looking at, making sure that we are matching that bride material, that servant material. And to do good in their lives, we ultimately know that our ideas cannot muster up what we think is good. Every good has to be compared to the functionality that the Father has put in place. So ultimately, we judge all matters good and evil based upon His words and His words alone. And also that every man, verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is a gift of Elohim.
That's right.
And ultimately, I don't know about y'all, but I managed to gain 14 pounds. So I've really been rejoicing. Hallelujah. Might have to practice some of that cardia. I know that whatever Elohim does is forever, everlasting.
Yeah.
It's not for nothing, and there is no adding to it, and there is no taking from it. Elohim does it that men should fear before him. And ultimately, that is the true test, to see if we actually fear Almighty God. That if we're going to do our due diligence to make sure that we're not taking from His Word, taking away from His Word, or adding to it just because it fits our schedule. Because we are a schedule-based people. By design. But preferably His schedule. Whatever is has already been, and what shall be has been before. But Elohim seeks out what has been pursued. And that of itself resonated with me. Are we pursuing Him? And it's going to all ultimately echo the same message about servitude, about being a good bride to the Messiah. But you see, in me and my wife's marriage studies, when people begin to lose interest in one another, the pursuit dies. Now, pursuit doesn't have to look like what Hollywood paints. So there is a lot of expectations out there, like The Notebook. No, I'm gonna stop. But there are a lot of expectations out there that get put to put more stress on the relationship. And in the reality, Almighty God is not asking much from us. He's not. He is absolutely not. And then, ultimately, once again, we have to reflect to the fact that we are in a relationship with God. That's why there was a ketubah covenant established at Mount Sinai. Marriage contract. So, ultimately, these things are all implemented in place forever to test and see if we're going to continually pursue. Yeah. See, seeking out. Let's pursue. Really find out what's in our hearts. Continually. The ultimate heart surgery. Hallelujah. So, let's slide down to 123 to 125, and this is the scriptures portion of it. And I'm going to try to follow along with it so it's up on display. Depending on where you're sitting, if you can see it. So, it reads as follows. But to go to my land and to my relatives. Now remember, in the previous verse, he was speaking about not to take from the land of the Canaanites. Mm-hmm. But to go to my land and to my relatives. Mm-hmm. And take a wife for my son, Yitzhak. And the servant said to him, what if the woman refuses to follow me to this land? Do I then take your son back to the land from which you came? And Abraham said, beware, lest you take my son back there. Big bold letters. Yehovah Elohim of the heavens, who took me from my father's house. He's reminding him of the journey. And from the land of my relatives, and who spoke to me and swore to me, the oath, saying, to your seed I give this land. He sends his messenger before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. This is that confidence, that confidence from Almighty God level of understanding. Abraham's been in the game long enough, as we can call it. And he knows Almighty God said it, it will come to pass.
Right.
And we ultimately have to make sure that we're meeting that same level of understanding and stature. But you know, something I wanted to point out before I read the next verse is normally, I think as a people, we would get annoyed with questioning. And we see the servant presenting these questions of concern. But in reality, we should be in a position of humility, so where if we do have concerns, we humbly bring those concerns up in question form, not in statement form. We don't ask statements. That's not a sign of a good servant. That's the guy, as I said, the guy that shows up on the first day and decides that he wants to be the CEO.
Yeah.
That's a CEO.
Right.
Thankfully, I've been in a position to where I was raised by some real old school hardworking people that really got my mind right before I got grown up. So, verse 8, and if the woman refuses to follow you, then you shall be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Very detrimental. So, that's right. Let's go to Matthew's chapter 28, 16 through 20. Now what we're looking at is the reflection of the fact that not only Yitzhak never left the boundaries of the promised land, but also Yeshua. And we can see that ultimately playing out of the structure that was set up for the taught ones of our Messiah. Mm-hmm. And we are to draw from that and learn from that. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately, I really enjoyed that understanding that was taught to us about really knowing what the Great Commission was. Because it can be seen as get up and take off and run in the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And go and proclaim the good news. But what good is that if we don't actually learn the depths and get the understanding that he wants us to have before we ultimately reach out from where we're already at. Because he gives us that yeshiva, that place of learning,
Amen.
The place of gathering together, so that way we can be taught once first. But as it reads, and the 11 taught ones went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Yeshua had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they bowed to him, but some doubted. And to me, all that's saying is there's still room for growth. Because ultimately, we have our moments when we're faced with Koshek. And we have to take up that shield above all things and quench the fiery darts of the enemy to make sure that we don't fall subject to disbelief. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. Therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the set-apart Spirit, teaching them to guard all that I have commanded you. And see, I am with you always until the end of age. Amen. Yeah. And interestingly enough, this age in Greek is Achion. Oh, that was like a little Hebrew twist, apparently. Aeon. Oh, I don't know the rules of Greek. It's different. But ultimately means properly an age by extension, perpetuity, implication, the world, and it goes on, but what the draw from is it also speaks of eternity, eternal. So ultimately reflecting the idea and plan of the Father, because what we're toiling for is to make sure that we're being trained up and taught how to be good servants unto the Father, so that way we can actually truly enter into eternity. Oh boy, here comes the Moshe's with all the T's. So, you see, it's that easy to lose your train of thought sometimes. Hallelujah. So, entering into eternity with him, that's where it is. Thank you, Father. So, ultimately, we got to ask ourselves if we're being under watch and surveyed, it's because he has guidelines for us. Because he's not just going to want to spend eternity with anyone. He's not going to want to put up with nonsense forever. It's at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Right.
And I mean, in our human state, I mean, don't we get fed up with certain things? Don't we feel a certain way to certain moments in life? Oh, I'm not putting up with that. Not in my house. Sounds familiar? I've heard it growing up. You know, because in reality, it's his house. And he's not going to put up with it forever. So this is on slide 129, but I did back up a couple of verses. In Ezekiel chapter 33, I just went to verse 1 to 9. Because ultimately, this is going to reflect on a burden that we have to bear as servants. As people that have to be willing to tell people the truth, warn them in the time that they need to warn them. And yeah, it could be of prophetic value of current times and events that's taking place, but also within in-house conductivity. Are we willing to actually go to one another whenever we offend or sin against one another? As the scripture says we should. In private first, which we will read. Because ultimately that's where I was taken to after expounding and reading in Ezekiel. But one step at a time. And it reads as follows. And the word of Yehovah came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people.
Come on.
The children of your people. And you shall say to them, when I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land shall take a man from their borders, and shall make him their watchman, and he sees the sword coming upon the land, and shall blow with the shofar, and shall warn the people. Then whoever shall hear the voice of the shofar, and shall not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood is on his own head. Now, interestingly enough, as just reading verse number 4, was being reminded that his voice ultimately reflects that shofar. If we don't take heed of his warnings, ultimately that's on our head and our household and those that we should be testifying to. It's something to really be reminded of continually. Because also it's another thing that's easy to say up here, but until you actually test it, will you do it? See if you truly love those that you say that you love. Verse 5. That's just in the Nahor. That Hebrew word in the Nahor. My nose is like, yeah, that's a... Just make sure I don't eat any powdered another bread with that. Breathing out my nose. Bro. I know this is a little detour, but you know LeBron James? With the powder? Yeah, that's what I felt like. I was embarrassed. So, continuing. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and shall not blow with the shofar, and the people shall not be warned, and the sword comes and takes any being from among them, he is taken away in his crookedness, and his blood I require at the watchman's hand. And someone really lets that in for us, the responsibility that comes with serving him. And you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And you shall hear a word from my mouth, and you shall warn them from me, for me. When I say to the wrong, O wrong one, you shall certainly die, and you have not spoken to warn the wrong from his way, that wrong one shall die in his crookedness, and his blood I require at your hand. But when you have warned the wrong to turn from his way, and he has not turned from his way, he shall die in the crookedness. But you have delivered your being. And so with that being said, of course, I'm going to be reminded of how we do have a pastor that's willing to dig deep as a watchman and reveal things to us that's going on in current events. Because that area is not easy. I've took a peek at it and trying to understand things. And ultimately, Father God will and can give any of us revelation if we're willing to seek it out. But more so, the level of burden that comes from that is what I'm speaking of. Because ultimately, though, the true mark and sign of the humble approach is the reality of not saying certain things are definite in stone, but we have to be at least aware of what's going on. And it's so true. Because honestly, if I was honest, and I like being honest, I don't exert myself in that area the way that I should. Because ultimately, we are all, in a sense, called to be watchful, to be aware of our surroundings and understanding these things. Not just also with current events, but within house productivity. Just as I was saying a while ago when reading over this, I was reminded of Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 20. And this is about the in-house conductivity. We have to also ask ourselves as we read over this, in the times that we have been trying in this area, how many times have we actually got it right? That's at least what I was going with. Because ultimately, if we don't follow it as it says, then we end up putting ourselves in a position of a second witness to the cost of time. Mm-hmm. And we just end up running our mouth about somebody because they hurt our little feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ultimately what I was trying to say. And thank you, Father, for giving me the nudge. And if your brother sins against you, go and convict him. Oh, a key thing that we should draw from this, and we should probably already know, whenever we get that opportunity to go convict somebody, it should be as a humble servant, mm-hmm. according to his word. Because I don't know who got the pitchforks and the torches. Leave them where they at. Use them for what they need to be used for. Between you and him alone. First up, if he hears you, you have gained your brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and ultimately, because if we take that approach of entitling ourselves not to actually go forth and be that shofar and warn them, how many other people? You're just going to allow someone to continue forth. But the approach has to be right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a balance to these things, because he doesn't like unjust balances for anything.
Sure.
And how we measure out his judgment surely will be measured back out to us.
Sure.
Matthew chapter 7, right? Between you and him alone, if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Best case scenario. But if he does not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. As we've so learned in the Torah.
Amen.
And if he refuses to him, I'll just put here and then together. And if he refuses to hear them, say it to the assembly. And if he refuses even to hear the assembly, let him be to you like the nations
and
a tax collector. If we find ourselves wanting to behave as we once behaved, because that's where we once came from, then we might actually end up back there again. And sometimes this step-by-step process is within the body. It doesn't even need to take place, it just happens by choice. But at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. As a servant, you're going to either choose to serve one or the other. Can't serve both.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't. But truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosened in heaven. All things are taken account for in measure. Again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning any matter that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in the heavens. For there two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in their midst. So ultimately, in other words, if you are faced with this situation and you agree to it, just know that throughout the entire process, call upon him. Know that he is there with you. We should be ultimately praying for the situation to benefit the body in those moments. And not to be tempted to just be like, yeah, that brother always rubs me the wrong way. Oh, you too?
Mm-hmm.
You too?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know, I'm laughing because I wish sometimes I could project the little stuff going on out there. But it's... You know, ultimately, though, the realistic thing, it's genuinely not a laughing matter, to be honest. Because that just, you know, I'm going to be up here and be honest, because that convicted me. You know? Because we can have laughing moments, but the severity of what we're talking about isn't one of those.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thankful for the Father doing that just now. And let that also just be for whoever wants to receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Thank you, Father. Man, see? And I just hit my thumb. Slide 130, as we move along in this beautiful Torah portion. Then the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. And the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left. For all his master's good gifts were in his hand. And he arose and went to Aram Naharaim, to the city of Nahor.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we're going to see in a little bit why I said Nahor about the smoking, the, you know, the visualization basically of a stubborn bull.
Hmm.
Yeah. That almost went in a whole other direction. But under the thigh. Now, ultimately, we've learned that this imagery that we're being given shows us in a sense of, because look what the matter is at hand. This involves the continuation of the seed, the continuation of the promises, a continuation of life. So him placing his hand under Abraham's thigh shows that he's not just making any oath or making any swear or just verbally standing before him, but in front of him. He wants him to understand the in-depth severity of what is about to take place and for his servant to be reminded of how important this task is. Now, ultimately, we bear Messiah within us. We are representatives of Messiah and the Father. So when we sign up and be rebirthed and take on the blood of Messiah, are we making sure that we're living up to our oaths? The very oaths that were taken to such a serious level that takes a level of fear and reverence towards the Father that we have to be willing to actually walk in ourselves. Or we ultimately can turn what he set apart holy and profane, as we learned. But I was also reminded, and we just read this in the Shema, of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and trustworthiness the girdle of his waist. Now, all in all, the place of this oath being sworn would also reflect trustworthiness. Are you able to perform this with trustworthiness? Are you able to perform this with righteousness? And we know from reading the Shema lining of the menorah that Messiah Yeshua did not judge by the sight of his eyes nor the hearing of his ears,
right,
but with righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Uniqueness. We can also see it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, when it was speaking about the whole armor of Elohim. After we stand, and stand, and then, having girded your waist with truth. So, ultimately, the picture that was formulated in a time of meditation and looking over this is, all in all, our walk is an act of trust and trustworthiness. Hence the words that I said earlier, well done, my good and trustworthy servant. And the only way we can hear those words is if we actually live up to the oath and the covenant that we decided to be grafted into. And not just treating it as, it doesn't matter. Because that attitude is not the attitude that reflects the true servant and the true bride of the Messiah. Because, you know, also I said it earlier, and I'm being reminded of this. About the genuine fact that he's not going to settle just for anyone. And
oh boy.
So whenever we were at COI fellowshipping, and we got called to the back room, I believe it was just me and Pastor at the moment. Pastor Blackwell, you know that dude loves to joke around. I know that for sure. But it was funny because Mama Audrey had walked in and Pastor Blackwell was messing with her and saying, "You found yourself a man yet?" She goes, "I got two of them. I got daddy and husband." And she was talking about her sons. But she said, "You know, if I were to, I ain't just gonna settle for anybody. I don't want no junk." That's what she said, with bonus. But it was from the standards. It was from the standards of a woman of God. She didn't want to settle for someone that's gonna just not walk. Ultimately, in the same way that her husband that had passed walked. As a man after God's heart. So there are standards in this. And ultimately that was the reflect upon he won't settle for anybody. And that's what I was reminded of.
Amen.
So we gotta ask ourselves in this walk, are we still trying to decide between Baal and Yeshua? It's all right. Grace. Don't pervert grace. Grace allowed you to keep breathing this morning. So why take a chance to cut off the oxygen supply? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes. Okay. So, let's back up into the Torah portion. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left, for all his master's good gifts were in his hand. And he arose and went to Aram Naharim, the city of Nahor. Now, there's different ways when you hear a number mentioned in the Torah portion where your mind may go. I'm sure for most, whenever you hear 10, you think of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Now, little imagery that was popping up in my mind about the camels. And interestingly enough, because as I was learning, it's better whenever you study all the way through, you see the whole matter, repetition, go through it, and then, you know, ultimately start breaking down and picking apart, and then paralleling it to our studies. And that process has ultimately helped me tremendously in my study time. I've been applying that. So basically the reason I'm saying that is because ultimately when I first read through the Torah portion, just a read through, when it came to the Ten Camels, my mind did already go to Mount Sinai. And then when you check our study material and you see that it's part of it, to me that's just confirmation to make sure that we're in the right path, in the right track, just to check yourself. But ultimately back to the Ten Camels and Mount Sinai and the Ten Commands, I had an imagery pop up in my mind of these 10 camels, and they're some big old desert horses. They're huge. So, and they carry a lot of water. And, you know, interestingly enough, we know that the word refers to living water multiple times. That we know we never thirst again if we truly drink from the living water. And these 10, you know, ultimately within my mind, representing the Ten Commands, we know those commands give us life and everlasting living water that we can draw from,
that's right,
that we can drink whenever we become thirsty. So state of dehydration is literally your body breaking down. And if you're going throughout life dehydrated in the spiritual sense, it'll show the weakness and the nasty health side effects that come from it will show. And left for all his master's good gifts. So, As servants, we are to receive good gifts, to seek out what these gifts are, and make sure that we put them into service in the same spirit, under the same authority. And I'm sure some know where I'm going. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 11. Thank you, Father. And before, this is where we're going to be before we start on that. I want to share a testimony of my walk. Because going through this Torah portion and meditating upon His Word, I was reminded of my humble beginnings. You know, from the first moment that I walked into here and feeling the heat, and like I said, I was sweating. I didn't remember what I was wearing that day. Superman shirt with blue jeans and red shoes. And I can tell you right now, Superman had nothing on Yeshua. It was blowing. And thankful Almighty God that we get to experience that. You know, ultimately, that's what captivated me, along with the famous words, "Don't take my word for it, go look for yourself."
Yes.
What that did was like, you know what? I've never heard really anyone say that in life in general, because I haven't been to other congregations. In the sense of looking to seek the Father. But ultimately, it caused me to actually read and seek out these matters, which helped build me up. But in those humble beginnings, showing up, trying to understand what I can understand, learning how to pray, I should have thought, oh my goodness, I was just like reminded of, I literally didn't know how to pray. So I write letters to Jesus. I have letters written. And it says, "Dear Jesus," and it's written out, "Love Robert," and you know, I still have them somehow. I don't know where they're at. And I'm laughing because I'm thinking to myself, like, how are you gonna send it? So But the reality is, how important it is to show up so you can learn how to pray, so you can learn how to walk in Him. And through that consistency, right, because this is going to be like a brief walk of testimony. When I say all hell broke out, whenever I was finally turning my life over to the Father, if it wasn't for this, this place, and the people that actually care and love the Father,
come on,
I would have ended up right back where I was. Think about that. If I could possibly just not be here anymore. In all honesty, it's a blessing not to know how broken out of the person I used to be. Trust me. And I'm sure we all have had our moments. But that was a mess. But look at where I'm at now. Thank you, Father. So, when I said all hell broke out loose, I went from being in a home. I'm going to spare names, I'm going to spare drama, I'm going to spare as much as possible. But being in a home, after turning my life over, starting to pursue, and getting kicked out, living out of my truck at Josh's Marina, going from my truck to an abandoned, no electricity FEMA trailer. And mind you, I wasn't telling nobody about it. I would just show up like nothing was going on. Because the sad thing is, I've been there before. I've been homeless. And a lot of it was to do it my own head, my own stupidity. So, I don't know why I said it like this. But, went from that abandoned FEMA to a shipping container that a foreign guy that still lives down here that does roofing was trying to build me a little house out of. And boy, you want to talk about a character. But, you know, then that led to an 18-wheeler because I'm honest, I had lived, you know, in something while trying to figure out how to get things together. But, you know, that 6 months that I was gone, I could feel myself dwindling. I could feel myself, you know, I'd rather be in a shipping container. Because If you just rely on recordings and you just rely on certain things like that, you don't get to immerse yourself in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father has designed these things for us to immerse ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that way we can build upon one another. So that we can learn from one another, right and wrong. And let's speed those things along. Ultimately, within a 3 years of praying and taking Him very seriously, seeking out His Word, and applying it to my life within 3 years. House that's paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Two vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And now a job that allows me, because of the way government works, if I got the time off, just take it. So I can make sure that I'm here. Because that's a stipulation. Because the Father knows in my heart I'm willing to suffer to keep this from marriage.
Amen. That's right.
So good, Father.
I'm willing, and I know it's a scary thing to say that, right? Because the next thing you think is, you will be tested.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire time we're being tested.
Mm-hmm.
In every area.
So true.
So when we're bold, we should also be humble in mind.
Yes.
And all in all, I was bringing a lot of that up. Because within that process, as I grew, and was quietly here. Just how Brother Shannon said, a wallflower, I guess is the saying. He's just there,
mm-hmm.
quietly observing. I began to realize and have it impressed upon my heart that there's more I need to do. I want to show this appreciation.
Sure.
Started the computer. It was something I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And by no means I'm qualified to work for Geek Squad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had to learn that. Come on there. And I learned preferred, by the way. But the point of bringing that up is I saw that there was something that I could get my hands on and be a part of the body.
Amen.
To serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it with the essence and the thought of just because I want to show him my appreciation.
That's right.
And of course, with a little, then begins to lead to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a Shabbat, I'm up here doing the one thing that I thought I would never do. Because
mm-hmm.
I was okay hiding behind a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like I'm doing a part. Then of course we do have the in-between things whenever it comes to the feast, making sure we're there to set up, take part, as we know.
Yeah.
All things that are being considered on how we conduct ourselves in servitude.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment that we catch ourselves complaining about what we're doing,
mm-hmm.
just remember where He's taking us from.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that our burdens are light.
Mm-hmm.
His yoke is easy.
Mm-hmm.
But this is in regards to gifts of the Spirit and seeking out these things. And ultimately, we won't be able to truly reflect these gifts if we don't come together and learn from one another and actually pay attention to one another with a caring heart and see our best quality traits that we can bring forth to the table. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not wish you to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be left in the dark. You know that you were nations led away to the dumb idols, even as you might be led.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember where you started. That's what I get from that. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of Elohim says Yeshua is a curse.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is able to say that Yeshua is master except by the set apart Spirit. Giving us indicators to look at. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And ultimately, we learned in the Torah that if anyone comes before you presenting certain gifts but tries to lead you in a different direction, it's a false prophet by definition of the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's really drawing into the fact to test all things, to know the Father so good that you cannot just be easily taken out of the fold. To be deceived by miraculous signs. And ultimately, we know that's how hostile time works. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of services. It's all hands on. But the same Master.
That's right. Amen.
That's all on to Him. At the end of the day, we can't let our entitlement get the best of us. We go, I'm not doing that with them. I'm not doing that with them. I remember whenever they did this and said this about me. And, oh, okay. We can all remember stuff. We can try to. Or we can represent the Father. Because you probably had your opportunity to go to them. And you didn't because you weren't quite sure if what they said actually meant to actually mean to hurt you in that moment. That's a whole other thing. Because I've said it before, if something has genuinely offended me, then I have to ask myself what truth is in there that hurt me. Because if it's all a lie, how is it going to hurt you? Because if it still hurts you and it's all a lie, then that might be a sign of pride. Because you're trying to protect your image. And we know how Yeshua conducted himself as a humble servant, taking blow after blow, verbally, physically, and so on and so forth. But spiritually, so strong. And there are different kinds of workings. There's all things that can be done. But it is the same Elohim who is working in it all. And to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for profit. For to one is given a word of wisdom through the Spirit. And to another, a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. They're all in the same boat. And to another, belief, the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And to another, operations of powers. And to another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of spirits. And to another, kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works by all these, distributing to each one individually as he intends. And ultimately, reading through that, I took some time to meditate and just go before the Father and just thank Him for each and every one of us that is willing to distribute the gifts, but also always give Him the glory and the honor. And mind you, sometimes it feels like we're really not covering much ground, but in reality, I'm expressing what the Father put on my heart to share, because I have to, in a sense, make sure that I'm willing to crucify myself and die to self and bring forth what He puts forth on me to do so with. Now we're going to look. If you're following along the slides, it's 145. We're going to spend a little time looking at Aram Naharim and the city of Nahor. But Aram Naharim, Strong's 5, H763, means Aram of the two rivers. It comes from the two words, Aram, which means exalted, and Nahar, meaning stream and river. Now, this is from the slides that I was able to be reminded of, and I think it's an absolutely wonderful thing to be able to see, but whenever we hear the two rivers, the two bodies of water, we should be reminded that the children of Israel, whenever led by a strong arm out of the land of Egypt, mystery, passed through the two bodies of water. One through the leadership of Moshe, and then onto Yehoshua, Joshua. And then, so when we reflect on those things that we can draw, that these matters that are to come into the near future, I'm not saying near, but you know, we're taking our time through the Torah portions, but whenever we get there, that we should ultimately see that this is a reflection of things to come. And then we have to look into our lives and realize that ultimately he has taken us out of our own Egypt and has given us his right rulings and commands. So it's completely up to us in this journey if we're going to actually adhere to them or follow in the wilderness. Because ultimately, for us to enter into the promised land, we have to show that we are willing and trustworthy servants in the bride and Messiah. On slide 149, the servant went to the city of Nahor, and the Hebrew word, Nahor, Strong's H5152, meaning snorting, which can render a couple of real pictures for us. And I know the one picture I'm picturing isn't in this definition, but ultimately it's whenever we through the nose. And ultimately, in reflection of the horror here, it's more so resembling towards the fact that there are those that can be puffed up about truly following the commands of the Father that will lead you from the destination he's taking you from to where he wants to take you. And if that's your attitude approach, then you will not make it. Period. And that's something that we have to reflect on ourselves daily to make sure that we're not sending any projectiles out of our nose and attitudes towards the Father. Now, ultimately, my Nahor experience, because Brother Jack was telling a pretty good story. I picked the wrong time to eat that really delicious unleavened bread with powdered sugar on it. And I put on a little magic show. I feel powder everywhere. But this snorting is really representing that. And then, interestingly enough, as we can see, if we study within the information given to us, it could also show a picture of people lying on their back, laxing themselves towards the commands of Almighty Yah, not taking these covenanted promises and everything that's within them seriously, and falling asleep. And snoring ultimately shows us a sign of potential health issues. And ultimately, if we're going before the Father with a snoring type mentality, and you're just showing up because it's part of routine, and you really don't care what's being said, or whatever your reason is, or my reason, we gotta make sure we're not in a position to where we allow our stubbornness to put us to sleep. Mm-hmm. To be snoring. Oh. And quite frankly, if you're a heavy snorer, I'm sure that's gonna disturb the one next to you when you go to bed. So, it's not only just a representation of us, but we have to realize that it's a representation of who we're affecting around us, too. Mm. And I know this is so repetitive and so continual, but this is all I can see. You know, sometimes when I come up here and I realize that when I go into the Word, the majority of the time when I speak, it revolves around conductivity, how we behave. Because, quite honestly, I know how outward and demonstrable I was and can be myself. So that is why it's always usually a prime focus. I didn't realize that we were that close to being out of time. I apologize. So we are ending at Genesis 24, verse 10. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, my prayer is that I was able to bring forth his word in a way that edifies this area of the Torah portion. And I know there is literally so much more there that we can pull from. But ultimately, we have many of other days and just days throughout the week to really dig deep and look into the Word. And it becomes more of a benefit whenever we show up ready to receive a Word, whenever we already have the implanted Word dwelling within us. And with that being said, so service can come to a close. And we go before the Father in prayer. Mm-hmm. If there's any specific prayer requests, please make it known so we can go before the Father.